I'm thinking of the words found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, penned by the Apostle Paul, when he said, I remind you, brothers, of what I preached to you, the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It is the word of God. It is true. It is true. I'm ready for Good Friday. I'm ready for Easter. I mean, this is like, come on, let's get there sooner than later. But so Good Friday is really the first, I think it's the first Friday, no, second Friday of April. And then Easter is the second Sunday of April. And that's just around the corner, isn't it? Well, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we are in a three-part mini sermon series from this chapter in the book of Joshua called Transitions and Change. And last week, we looked at this chapter from the standpoint of a new leader, but the same Lord. A new leader, Joshua, but the same Lord Jehovah, all right? Times of transition, people may change, roles may change, but God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This morning, we're going to be looking at basically the same passage we did last week, but from a different perspective, a different angle, and we're going to hear the Lord speak. The Lord spoke to Joshua, and he's going to speak to us out of his word this morning. So, in the Mission Impossible action movies, Mission Commander Swanbeck gives assignments to Agent Ethan Hunt. And he does so by pre-recorded messages that sound something like this. Good morning, Mr. Hunt. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, involves whatever. You may select any team members, as always, should you or any member of your team be caught or killed, the secretary will disavow all knowledge of your actions. This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Psst. Gone. Now, I can't say I'm a huge Mission Impossible fan. I like the old Mission Impossibles, not the new ones, okay? But the assignments that were given by the commander to the agent were seemingly impossible, were they not? I mean, seemingly impossible, highly dangerous, life at risk, but incredible resources were brought to bear and brought to the disposal of the agent. So that what appeared to be Mission Impossible always turned out to be what? Possible. It always got done. Joshua chapter 1, Joshua and the people of Israel were given a Mission Impossible of their own. And for 40 years following the Exodus from Egypt, they had wandered in the wilderness. And now, 40 years later, 2 to 3 million people are encamped on the east side of the Jordan River, and the map shows their movement once they moved from the east side of the Jordan into Canaan land and kind of their strategy for conquering the land. But they're still on the east side. They haven't crossed the Jordan yet in Joshua chapter 1. And they're separated by the Jordan River, which starts up by the Sea of Galilee and runs all the way down to the Dead Sea. And that's what separates them from the Promised Land. And their assignment was to cross the Jordan River. Okay. We're not talking the Red Sea, but we are talking the Jordan River. And by the way, just so we understand this, there were no bridges. There were no ferries. There wasn't even a zip line, okay? There was no way to get across the Jordan River easily. But that was their assignment, was they had to cross the Jordan River. And by the way, once they got into the Promised Land, once they got into Canaan, then it was like Canaanites everywhere. And the Canaanite culture consisted of just multiple groups of different tribes. And together, collectively, they were called Canaanites. Let me tell you, they were not nice people. And they had lived there like forever. And who are these Israelites coming into our land? This is our land. This is our territory. And they were not going to give it up easily. So crossing the Jordan was one obstacle. Facing the Canaanites was yet another obstacle. And they were idolatrous people. They were a fearsome force, these Canaanites. And there were a lot of them. A lot of them. But the God who delivered his people from Egypt by the hand of Moses, and the God who led his people for 40 years in the wilderness, and the God who sustained his people for 40 years in the wilderness, the God who provided manna for their sustenance every day but one, all right? The God who did not allow their sandals or clothes to wear out. And some of you are going, what fun is that? I mean, well, they didn't have Amazon, okay? They didn't have Kohl's. They didn't have those places back then. And so God in his kindness and in his mercy, and I don't know how God did this, because here they are. Now, I've been to Israel, and I have walked in sandals all over Israel. And I want to tell you something. By the end of just 10 days in Israel, my sandals were nasty. I mean, they were like worn out after 7 days. 40 years, and their sandals are like brand new. Their clothes have no holes. They're not threadbare. Now, the God who did all of that, not to mention the God who took them through the Red Sea and parted the waters of the Red Sea and then folded them over the Egyptian army, that's the God who spoke to Joshua. That's the God. That's the God who is speaking in Joshua chapter 1. Now, thankfully, the words that Jehovah spoke to Joshua did not disintegrate 5 seconds after they were written. Okay? Thankfully. Thankfully, those words have been preserved for our edification. In fact, in Romans chapter 15, Paul says that what was written in former days has been preserved for our admonition, for our encouragement. So it's like, is the Old Testament for us? Absolutely it's for us. Does everything in the Old Testament apply to us? No, it doesn't. Can we learn from it? Yes, we can. Are all of the promises of God for believers in this current church age? No, they're not. But some of them are. But all of them are important. So we have the Word of God preserved for us and for our edification and for our encouragement and for our hope, by the way. And I thought, let's just pause because I think we need to hear God speak to us. Okay, so would you please stand with me? Please stand with me as I read God's Word and what God spoke to Joshua. These are the words of God. This is the word of God. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Now he's speaking to Joshua. This is like one-on-one with Joshua. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. That is a big piece of real estate. And God said, it's yours. All you have to do is step foot on it and keep stepping foot on it. And everywhere you step, it's yours. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong, courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Every time I read that, I try to put myself in Joshua's sandals as he's standing there. I think fairly overwhelmed as the successor to Moses. I think appropriately humbled. Well prepared. This man was well prepared. He's ready. But man, it's time. And God speaks to him. This is the word of the Lord. Can I just say for your encouragement, you know, sometimes I hear people say this, like, God spoke to me last night. I don't just take that at face value. I say, how did he do that? Well, he just did. He just kind of spoke to me. How? The only way God speaks is from his word. Were you reading the Bible? Because I can take that. I can accept that. Listen, God just spoke to us. This is the voice of God. So he just spoke to us. This is the Lord speaking to us. Every time you open the Bible and read the Bible, you're not just reading words printed on a page. You are reading the voice of God speaking to you. And God spoke to Joshua. God, by the way, he guaranteed, he says so here in this passage, he guaranteed their forefathers the success of Israel's mission to enter the land, to conquer the land, to possess the land, to occupy the land. But that being said, there were daunting challenges before them. Obstacles awaited them. So how did they do this? You know how they did this? The same way we do it. Listen to me. They took God at his word. They heard the word of God. They obeyed the word of God. They followed the lead of their Lord. And they experienced what God said they would experience if they would listen to him, trust him, do what they're told, despite the obstacles. They would need to take God at his word. They need to trust him for the victory, not defeat. Now remember, this previous generation, this is a new generation of Israelites. We have this brand new generation of Israelites because the old generation is dead. They disobeyed. God said, you're going to wander for 40 years, I'm going to die, I'm going to raise up a new generation that will obey me and move forward with this. I'm not comparing apples to apples here, but I think sometimes in local churches where there is this unhealthy commitment to never doing anything differently, to never trying anything new, I think eventually God says, okay, I'm just going to wait for you all to die and raise up a new generation to take this ministry forward. You know what? I'm looking out at you folks. I don't want any of you to die because of disobedience. I just want you to obey. I want to obey. I want to be part of this generation that is about to realize something wonderful and powerful and amazing that God is up to if we just take him at his word. They didn't, that previous generation. They didn't. The land was everything and more. I can't believe this. Yes, I can, because it's sinful human nature. It was everything and more than God said it would be. And these 12 leaders, you know what? The 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, these were like the cream of the crop. These were the best of the best. And these men walked into the land, and they came back carrying bunches of grapes on poles. They were so big and heavy. They said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and look what we got. Look at this. And we're not going in because the giants are huge. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight. 10 of the 12. Only Joshua and Caleb said, wait, whoa, our God is able. But the 10 overruled, and you know the rest of the story. May we as a local church, may we not forfeit what God has for us just in the next step of obedience. May we not forfeit that. Despite the imposing threats of giants in the land, and there are, but it caused these people to back off. They refused to follow the leadership that God had in place. More importantly, they refused to follow and trust God. That was the big deal. You know, when God's people refuse to follow the lead of godly, spirit-filled leadership, they're refusing God. Now, I'm not putting myself in the place of God, but I want to say this, that God uses people filled with the Spirit of God, following the Word of God, being imitators of Christ. That's how he leads. And God wants his people to affirm that, to embrace that, to pray for that, and to be a part of that. Don't you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself? I do. I'm going to be a part of something bigger than I am, bigger than Shawnee Hills. You know, we'll get to that in a minute. So following Moses as the leader of Israel into Canaan, for Joshua, that was overwhelming. I don't know how old Joshua was. We know Moses was 120 when he was taken out, okay? I don't know how Joshua was, but I think following someone like Moses, that had to be just a rather overwhelming thing. And why might even say, was this mission impossible? Humanly speaking, we may say, you can't do this. Maybe you've been in churches where it's like, you know what, God has put before us an open door of opportunity. Let's go, and somebody says, we can't do that. Who are we? We don't have the resources for that. We don't have the strength for that. All you have is God. That's all you have. All you have is God. All you have is God's word. And you can't do that? That was their conclusion here. No, they couldn't do that. So mission impossible becomes mission possible. Listen to me. Mission impossible becomes mission possible when we follow the God with whom nothing is impossible. We're not presumptuous here. It's not like, okay, we're not going to do our homework. We're not going to scout out the land. We're not going to do due diligence. I mean, that's all part of following the Lord, is being responsible. You know, But once it's like, man, the lights are lining up here, and yeah, there's still some blanks to be filled in, but there's no reason not to move forward here, then it's like, let's go. Still trusting God. Still obeying God's word. But it had to be a daunting thing, because not once, not twice, but three times, the Lord spoke to Joshua these words, be strong and courageous. In verses 6, 7, and 9, I think Joshua needed that reinforcement. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Come on, Joshua. You're my man, okay? And these are my people. And I'm your God. And we're going to do this. Don't you love being a part of something like that? I do. That just energizes me to think like, man, when we are kind of all on the same page with God, let's go. Let me ask a question. Is courage, because God said to Joshua, be strong and what? And courageous. So is courage the absence of fear? It is not. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the absence of cowardice. Okay? But you can be courageous. It'd be a great song. You can be courageous. No, okay. You can be courageous and still have this kind of inkling of, you know, the 12 of us going to Kenya, that's kind of where we are right now. It's like, God has given us a green light, and it's like, go, oh. Right? Right, Angela? Sean? Yeah. But we have green light. It's not even yellow. It's like green. So we go. We go in the fear of the Lord. Courage does not withdraw in the face of dangers and difficulties. It actually leans into that. Courage leans into that, doing the will of God. And listen, God, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has not given you a spirit of fear. He has not. That is not from God. A fearful, timid, I want to withdraw. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go there. I am too, that is not from God. But God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's the spirit that is showing up here in the life of Joshua. Not a spirit of cowardice, not a spirit of timidity, not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This past week, we attended this conference I mentioned, and one of the workshops led by Pastor Steve Byers was on courage. And as biblical counselors and as believers in Jesus Christ, we ought to have courage. And we ought to encourage others. You know what you do when you encourage somebody else? You're used of God to infuse courage into another person. Encourage that person. Come alongside that person and infuse courage. That's what God did for Joshua. That's what God wanted Joshua to do for his people. Courage is that quality of mind that enables people to encounter danger and difficulty with firmness and resolve despite inner fears. It doesn't minimize inner fears. It doesn't say, no, that's, you know, you don't know. No, it acknowledges that I have some, maybe some reservation here, maybe some apprehension here, maybe just a little bit of fear. But that spirit of courage enables us to encounter danger and difficulty with firmness and resolve, trusting God, who doesn't give us this overwhelming spirit of fear, but an overwhelming spirit of love and power and a sound mind. That's what comes from God. And you know, the application of that is so pervasive. I'm going to be careful what I say. But regardless of your personality, regardless of your temperament, you can be an essentially shy person. Some of us are. But you can still be courageous. That's no excuse not to be courageous, not to have that spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Okay? Not everybody's type A. Some of us are. No, I shouldn't say some of us. I'm not. I'm not that. I'm not type A. But some people are. Okay? Not everybody's a dominant. You know the disc thing? Dominant and, you know, I forget the other ones. Anyway, not everybody's a dominant. But some are influencers, you know? But we can all be courageous, regardless of how God put us together, emotionally, mentally, physically. There's never an excuse not to be courageous. Listen, if we're going to be Christ-like, hear me now on this. Just please hear me now on this. If we are going to be conformed to the image of Christ, please understand Jesus was the most courageous person who's ever walked the face of this earth. He is the personification of courage. But he didn't lord it over people. He wasn't type A. You know, he wasn't that. But he was courageous. So courage is something God wants every one of his children to have and to practice. The great reformer, Martin Luther. Talk about a courageous man. He was so fearless. He was so fearless of people because he feared God so much. He feared people so less because he feared God so much. And when he set out on his momentous journey to Worms, here's what he said. He said, "You can expect from me everything save fear and recantation. Do not expect me to show fear or to recant. I shall not flee, much less recant." And when warned of the grave dangers, here's how he retorted. He said, "Not go to Worms. I shall go to Worms, though there were as many devils as tiles on the roofs." Now that's courage. Because he was so sure of what God had put in his heart to do. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Can I just say to some of you that maybe you're just right on the edge of something that you really think, believe God has put in your heart. He wants you to be strong and very courageous. Don't back off. Lean hard into it. Seek counsel. Seek prayer support. I mean, be wise. We'll talk about that later. See, in times of transition and change, and that's where we are, right, as a local church, this is a time of transition and change. Just a month from now, Pastor Adam will be candidating to be the next senior pastor here. And if that's the Lord's will, then by June 1st, he'll be the senior pastor, or I'll be the associate pastor, and we'll probably have another associate pastor here at that time, too. And things are going to look a little differently. Okay, there's going to be transition. There's going to be change. But what was true for Joshua and Israel is true for us, too. The principles detailed and delineated here in Joshua chapter 1, those principles are just as true today as they were then. So let me just speak heart to heart with you for a minute here. So where does this strength and courage come from? So three times God said, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Joshua, be strong and very courageous. So where do we get that? We just kind of womp it up inside of us? Just keep telling ourselves, be strong and very courageous. Just kind of get in a lotus position. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. No, it comes from God. God is the source of that. God is the one who infuses strength and courage into his people. It comes from him. How does he do that? How does God, the ultimate source of strength, and he is Almighty God, right? Almighty God, he is the source of strength and courage. How do we get that from him? Where does that come from? Primarily, right here. Right from his book. It comes from the Word of God. God spoke to Joshua. God said, be strong and courageous. God spoke those words. He spoke those words into Joshua's heart. He spoke truth into Joshua's heart. You know, back then, the Holy Spirit did not function the way he does today. The Holy Spirit did not indwell God's people. He came upon God's people. He empowered them, and then he left. Today, not only do we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God. So it's like, man, God not only has given us his word to infuse courage and strength, he's given us his Holy Spirit living in us to strengthen us and to give us courage in the midst of maybe some of our moments, okay? And we have those, right? You ever have those? Really? Of course we have those. And sometimes that's God's way of saying, now just put this on pause. You're running ahead of me here. Just slow down, you know. The courage comes from God. He conveys that to his people through his word. Look at verses 6 and 7. God says, be strong and courageous. For you, Joshua, you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful, be careful. We're going to come back to that. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. So God infuses his strength in the lives of his people by his word, and today by his spirit, by God's spoken word, this plan was communicated. We see that in verses 2 and 4. Victory was guaranteed. Sometimes I say, man, I wish I could just put that in my life today, and I have a thus saith the Lord for the things that are, but I have this, and this is all we need. This is all we need. Right here. God's presence was assured. Look at verse 5. God said, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Now, does that ring a bell? Who else said that? Jesus. To whom did he say that? To his disciples, to his church. Don't you know that the same Jehovah that said to Joshua, I am with you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, is the same Jehovah Jesus who said to his disciples, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Why do we act sometimes like he has? Do you know how you know when you're acting as if Jesus has forsaken you? When you're fearful. When fear overrides trust. When you lack courage. When you lack strength. You may call yourself a Christian, but you're a practical atheist. You're not living as if the God of the universe, the God of everlasting, the Almighty God, You're not living like that. I'm not living like that either. Listen, there are many times in my own life, oh my, I hate to tell you this, but it's true, where God has brought me right up to the edge, and I've said, can't do it. I can't be that person. I can't be that kind of a husband. I don't have it in me to be that kind of a husband. And it's almost like God says, so what do you have in you? What do you have in you? Like, do you have my word in you? Do you have my spirit in you? Do you have the spirit of Christ in you? Yeah, then you can be the husband I have called you to be. You can be that. You can do that. And the application is very broad. Commander Swanbeck, remember him? Okay. He never, ever promised to be with Ethan Hunt. Never made that promise. No, he provided the resources and basically said, you're on your own. To do or die. I'm out of here. And if you get caught, I will never, ever admit to knowing you. And I think to myself, man, who'd want to work for him, you know? I am so thankful that God is not like that. He is with me. He is with us. He does own us. He does support us. He not only provides the resources, he facilitates all of that through us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's the perfect commander. He gives the assignment. Listen to this. This is the God we serve. He gives the assignment. He provides the resources, and he stays with us. He is the God who stays, isn't he? He is the God who stays with his people. But, I'm going to have to cover this quickly, God uses obstacles. He uses obstacles to prove his sufficiency and to build courage into the lives of his people. And in the next maybe 5 minutes, just hear this. What were the obstacles before Joshua and Israel? What obstacles were very intentionally left in front of Joshua and the people of Israel? Well, the first obstacle was the Jordan River at flood stage. That is the Jordan River at flood stage. Okay? That is what Joshua and Israel were looking at from the east side of the Jordan River. They were not looking at this little stream. Okay? You know, when it's not in the spring, when it's not flood stage, when the snow of Mount Hermon has not melted down into the Sea of Galilee and just pushed down the Jordan River and floods the banks, the Jordan River is about 100 feet wide, about 3 to 17 feet deep. But you know what? God said, I'm not going to have you cross when it's easy to cross. I'm going to have you cross when it's impossible to cross. When it looks like that. That's when you're going across. So that was an obstacle. Remember, no zip lines, okay? The second obstacle was not just the land, but the Canaanites who were in the land. The Hittites, the Moabites, the Jebusites, and the Muscovites. They were all there, okay? They were all there in the land, in the land. And there were a lot of them, a lot of them. And they were different ethnic groups, and they didn't want Israel there. They didn't want Joshua there. There would be resistance. There would be battles. There would be adversity. If you're saved, if anybody ever told you before you got saved, all you have to do is get saved and life will smooth out, that's a lie. I tell you what, after I got saved, life got a lot harder. Because now I had a conscience driven by the Spirit of God that was telling me what was right and what was wrong, and I still wanted to do what was wrong. Because my flesh, my heart was still not completely sanctified, okay? The Canaanites were in the land. The people of Israel, they were an obstacle. Right? All this people, 2 to 3 million people strong, who had the reputation of being what? Now, the previous generation more so than the new generation. The previous generation were a bunch of stubborn, stiff-necked, grumbling, complaining people. Well, thank God they were dead, okay? But now we have a new generation, and you know what? Sin dies hard, and some of these patterns and so forth probably were still mingled in the hearts of God's people, even this new generation. So, listen, sometimes we are our own worst enemy, aren't we? And they were to themselves. And so God says, okay, I've got these obstacles, the Jordan River, the Canaanites and the land, and you. Because unbelief and a lack of courage is what had prevented God's people from entering the promised land before. So God was encouraging Joshua and the people of Israel to act on his word. Here are the promises. Here are the provisions. Here's what I want you to do. Now do it. Lead. I'm with you. So I'm going to just say, what are the obstacles before us in this time of transition? Well, it's not a river at flood stage, okay? But we have some obstacles in this transition period involving adjustments. I mean, just so you know, the further down this transition road we go, the more adjustments we're going to have to make as a leadership team and as a ministry staff and as a body of believers. I mean, it all sounds good, but I'm going to tell you something. Even when things sound good and look good and seem to be going in a good way, it can get squirrely. So just know this, okay? Just know this. There may be some obstacles there. Not Canaanites, not walled cities. We don't have those obstacles. But we have unknowns. I mean, if you haven't thought this yet, you will think this. How's this going to work out? How's this whole transition thing going to happen? Right? I wonder what that's going to be like. Is Pastor Dave really going to be able to let go of the reins? Is he really going to allow, I mean, or is he just going to kind of hover over Pastor Adam? You know, I mean, how's this going to work? Unknowns, adjustments, opportunities. God wants us to trust him. Our faith's going to be tested. Our faith will be tested. It will be. Just know that. Number three, we are obstacles. We ourselves. We're assets. We're liabilities at the same time, especially if we're not trusting God and following his leadership and using his resources. So verses 7 and 8, wrap this up. Verses 7 and 8. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So God, and by the way, who commanded this? God did. He said, have not I commanded you? Just so we're clear, I'm speaking to you. I'm commanding you. This is my word, okay? I'm commanding you. So in light of that, in light of the obstacles, here are three warnings, and I just throw these out to you. Number one, be careful. We all need to be careful as we go through this. There will be dangers. We need to be wise. We need to be alert. Guaranteed success was no excuse to Israel for being caught off guard. huh, I'll just kick back and let God, let go, let God. No. You better be responsible. You better do your job. You better give due diligence. Speak and talk about the Word of God. Be doers of the Word. Number two, be committed. Be careful. Be committed. Give heed to the whole counsel of God. We need to think God's thoughts consistently and carefully. We need to be people of prayer. Can I just say that again? We need to be people of prayer. I think we're getting there. We're developing a culture of prayer here at Shawnee Hills. It's really healthy. Let's do it more. Let's do it more. Number three, be Christ conscious. Be Christ centered. Be Christ conscious. Stay on task. Avoid distractions. Walk carefully. Be imitators of Christ. So even though God had given them the land, they had to enter it. There's the land. Go. Get going. There it is. Enter it. Conquer it. Occupy it. Obey God's word, and we need to obey God's word. So mission possible, notice this, mission possible is before us as a local church, right? Amen? This is not mission impossible. This is mission possible. And we have God's word on this. March 21st and 22nd, just a month away, is candidating weekend. Be in prayer about that. Candidating, pray for the McCunes. Pray for one another. Pray for the leadership team. Pray. All right? Candidating weekend followed by voting day, April 5th. Okay? So April 5th is voting day when those who of us who are members, voting members, we will cast our ballots and vote following constitutional procedure. Now, who knows the outcome? God does. Aren't you glad? He knows what's going to happen. He knows the outcome. He knows what's going to look like moving forward. And all I want to say in closing is let's, as a body of believers, now the Kenya mission team, we have embraced Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Those are our verses for this trip, okay? And here's what it boils down to. Trust, lean not, and acknowledge. Okay? That's just good counsel for all of us. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. In every way, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. All right? Worship team, would you please return to the platform and lead us in a closing song? As we sing, I don't know what God is doing in your individual hearts, but there may be some here that are motivated to take a step of obedience to... And by the way, Mrs. Liz Miller, we're going to vote you in this morning as a member, all right? Yes, so we want you to come forward, for one, we want you to come forward and get presented for membership this morning. But let's stand together, let's sing together, and you come if there's something that you believe God wants you to come forward for, all right? Let's sing.